And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Let's see. Yeah. I tell you what, I got to do this real quick. I got to say a shout out to somebody. I'm going to say a shout out. Shout out to Greenbrier Barbecue yonder way in Huntsville. Stan McDonald told me he was having lunch there today, and the owner of Greenbrier had some very complimentary things to say about this show. So if anybody's out there right now heading towards Greenbrier, please tell the guy who runs the place how much I appreciate his kind words. Thank you very much for that. It does get back to me. Yes, it does, because I have people everywhere. All right, so I'm jumping into safe streets. So President Trump, I'll tell you what, the man can coin a phrase. His Make America Great Again, it's like MAGA has become its own word. You know it? It's no longer an acronym. MAGA is a word in and of itself. You don't have to say what MAGA stands for. Everybody knows what it stands for. And, I mean, you can look at it like you can find other, you know, famous acronyms along the way, like ASAP. If I say do something ASAP, everybody knows what it means as soon as possible. If, you know, there's others that are less appropriate that I won't say right now, but the bottom line is that MAGA has become like its own word, but there are also now there's derivations. There's MAHA, which is Make America Healthy Again. What are some of the other ones I've seen? I think it's MASA, Make America Strong Again, for the military.
Yeah.
And then one of the ones I really appreciate is another MASA, which is Make America Safe Again. So Make America Safe Again is a part of the overall Trump agenda. You can actually look it up. I've got it pulled up right now on the screen. It comes from whitehouse.gov. President Trump's America First priorities, the very top of the list, was what's known as the Make America Safe Again plan. The Make America Safe Again plan, it actually deals largely with things on the border. All right. So it launches right into taking bold action to secure the border and protect American communities. And then to end things like catch and release policies and reinstating Remain in Mexico, building the wall, those kinds of things. But it also deals with the idea of justice and even seeking the death penalty as appropriate for crimes against humanity and people who kill law enforcement officers and all of it. The Make America Safe Again, I mean, when's the last time you recall the Democrats coming into office and going, here's what we're going to do. We're going to enforce the laws. And it's almost like it's antithetical to being a Democrat to say, we're going to make America safe again. No, they want to say, we're going to make America lenient. We're going to make America, like, you know, comfortable for the bad guys. We're going to make American victims feel like they're being victimized twice by the way we do things. We're going to pay a stipend to every bad guy we can find and make sure they get a light sentence and maybe even get released on their own recognizance with no bail. It's nauseating. But it's not just the Trump administration. What I feel like happens, okay, let me back up. Use your words, Phil. There's an old saying, and I say it on the show periodically, that as goes the king, so goes the country. Sometimes that's a phrase that can be used in terms of like the behavior of the person, you know, the morals of the person, the principles of the person. Well, I can think of things that happened in the immoral. Listen, I don't think I've ever said it this way before. The Biden administration was an immoral organization. It was at every turn. I mean, you had transgenders prancing topless on the lawn of the White House. You had just destroying Title IX to make sure that men could be in women's locker rooms. You had the cries that we need more abortion, and it just on and on and on. It was an immoral, finding crack in the White House. Remember that? They found a bag of cocaine. Is what it was. It was a bag of cocaine in the White House, outside the Situation Room, in one of the little lock boxes where you put your cell phones. Someone grabbed their phone and forgot their baggie. That's all happening in the White House. Well, as goes the king, so goes the country. Well, right now we've got a president who's brought in an administration, and it's not made of perfect people. I'm not trying to say it is, but it's coming in with a group of people that has a different sense of what is right and wrong. And one of the things that is right is making sure that we are doing all we can to make America safe again. And so the Safe Streets Initiative is a big deal. pushing for law enforcement to be enhanced is a big deal. Getting away from woke DEI policies in our military and in law enforcement and in our FBI and all of it is a big deal. All of these things add up to a sense that the rest of the country sees that and goes, yeah. And it, when you see the leader do that and bring an emphasis to it, what it does is it makes people out in the hinterlands sort of straighten their spines a little bit. And that's nothing but good. So when people out in, say, Minneapolis straighten their spines a little bit, things happen like what happened the other day. I say Minneapolis, Traverse City, Michigan. I meant to say Michigan. Out in Michigan just last week, story here on the New York Post. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. You may recall that just the other day in Traverse City, Michigan, we had a guy with a knife who just went into a Walmart and began randomly stabbing people, just running around stabbing people, stabbed multiple, six of them. Six of them went to the hospital. Now, they're all expected to recover, but make America safe again. Well, we had a guy named Derek Perry, a good guy with a gun. And by the way, I'm not gonna shy away from this. He was a black guy and a former Marine. And we got his picture right now on the thank you, JP. He got his picture up on the live stream right now. And the left ought to run with this. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, how often do we see things like the heinous situation that I'll cover later with the beat down on the street with you know young black thugs beating up a white couple simply for being in their way? This is a great guy right here. He's a former Marine, and he's a black guy with dreadlocks. And you know what? He was also a concealed carry permit holder, and he pulled his concealed carry, and he held that bad guy. And then you know what else happened? You look at it, it was like a microcosm of all that's right with America. You had a good guy with a gun who was black, and he had a bunch of other guys who were white. They all banded together, and they held that bad guy until the police got there. Safe streets? Well, when the leaders say, go for safe streets, it inspires people in the streets to make them safer too. And what you just saw was a good guy with a gun in Traverse City, Michigan, named Derek Perry, do the right thing. I got more on this, though. There's a lot to talk about. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday. We're glad you're with us. I'm in this first dipper, hour two, dipper one, safe streets. So a moment ago made the point that the guy out in Traverse City who ran around at Walmart with a knife stabbing people was stopped. Before police got there, he was stopped by a good guy with a gun. The good guy with the gun. That's an important factor that the libs hate it when you say that. Good guy with a gun. What is a good guy with a gun? Well, it's a good guy with a gun. What else do you need from me? But the reality is, what I told you earlier is already happening. So during the break, I just happened to see that Governor Kathy Hochul, oh yeah, Lord Jesus, Governor Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York State, just posted on Twitter exactly what I was warning you about in my monologue earlier. She says, four lives stolen, an NYPD officer leaves behind a pregnant wife and two young sons. And that's true, and that's a tragedy. But then she says, because a gunman from a state with weak gun laws brought an AR-15 to New York. We once had a national assault weapons ban. It worked. Republicans in Congress must find the courage to pass it again. Well, let's be honest. It didn't work. It didn't work because it wasn't enforceable. It also wasn't necessary. It also didn't lower the crime rate one whit. In fact, if I need to go pull that up again, I will. But I've dissected it on this show before. The statistics clearly show that the so-called national assault weapons ban, like what, by the way, what is an assault weapon? Can you have an assault bat? Can you have an assault knife? Can you have an assault vehicle? I mean, people use other things besides firearms. Are they all assaults if they use them? They don't even know what an assault weapon is. But the end result is she absolutely believes that we need more gun control laws. Well, how did your gun controls work out? Your gun control laws work out there, Governor Hochul? Not that great. Because a bad guy who wants to bring a gun in to do a crime is going to do it because the bad guys could care less about the crime. They don't care about criminal penalties. They're already bad guys. They don't abide by the laws, pretty much like that's part of the definition of being a bad guy. So all that to say, there's Governor Hochul the morning after, and she's already posting how she wants more gun control laws and says Republicans in Congress must find the courage to pass it again. Somebody needs to remind her that that narrative has never worked, ever, like in the history of ever.
I take a look at England too. Took away all their guns, and now stabbings are rampant. It's oh my gosh. Like violent people are going to do violent things. Like yeah. You're either going to disarm the people who are going to stop them, like Derek Perry, or you're just going to let what happened in New York City continue to happen, because the violence is not going to go away.
Yeah,
violent people are going to do violent things.
Yeah, and I'm not kidding. At what point does it stop? Well, we took all the guns. Now we got to have the knives.
Yeah.
Well, we got all the knives. Now we got to have the pick one, the bats. I don't know. You can't carry a stick. I don't know.
Fists. You get everybody. Yeah. Cut their hands off.
Hey, no fists. Open palms only. Well, that can be a weapon too.
That's true.
It never ends. It never ends with the left because they don't want to believe that it's their own inability to enforce the law. Listen, last night, I'll be honest with you. I listened to some great narrative most of the way back. It was like a 2-hour drive back from the town hall last night. And a lot of the way back, I was listening to Fox commentary, trying to hear what all was going on with the situation in New York State or New York City, actually. And I was listening to a guy, and I thought, this guy's a great commentator. I don't know who he was because I was listening to it on radio. But this guy's a former NYPD detective, and he was talking with knowledge of the inside about how all of the precincts are understaffed now. And he named one of them. Like he knew him like the back of his hand. He goes, oh, that's coming out of the 47. And the 47 used to have 9 cars at a time on the road. Now they're down to 2, maybe 3 at most. And that's across the board. And then he talked about response time. If you want to see police intervention in a situation, you have to have police who are in proximity to the situation. If you only have 2 to 3 where you used to field 9, then it stands to reason that the likelihood that a crime being committed may have a longer response time because there's fewer police who may be further away to get to you. That's just, that response time is imperative. It's like the golden hour when you're a medevac pilot. If you can get the wounded soldier from the battlefield to the triage site for medical attention within the first hour, that golden hour means something. Well, the same is true for response time on law enforcement. You want to make American streets safe again? How about this? Back the blue. There's your answer. Enforce the laws, DAs, and back the blue, mayors and city councils. And yet, here we are. New York City, which, by the way, I love New York City. I was there just a few weeks ago doing that CNN gig. I'm going back next week. But the reality is, we are looking at one of the legendary cities in the world being understaffed on law enforcement, and then they want to know, is it the firearm that caused it? Well, no, because he drove in from Nevada with it in the trunk of his car, so apparently not. And by the way, I thank you to CNN for having me on, but I got to say, I do not understand the CNN commentator they had on last night. The guy was a chucklehead. John Miller, CNN's chief law enforcement and intelligence analyst, looking at the picture of the shooter, who, by the way, his name was Shane Tamura, and Shane Tamura is a black guy, very obviously a black guy. How can I tell? Well, because he was black. So it's got nothing to do with the crime. It just means that that's his skin color. But when you're talking about, be on the lookout, here's the suspect, what do we know about him? And you look right at the picture and go, well, it could be a white guy. Why would he do that? I got to bring that up because it was asinine. I'm sorry. That's not even really part of the mix. That just struck me as being something worthy of reporting.
Yeah, possibly white. It's like,
it's possibly white.
Okay.
What does that even mean, dude? You have the photo in front of you. It's not a white guy. It's a black guy, and I'm not sure why it matters. But there it is. But then let's talk about safe streets. Who you put in place to make decisions matters. So as we find out more about this situation in New York City, the guy drove from Nevada obviously it was targeted. It's not likely that he drove across the country, arrived in downtown Manhattan, and randomly picked up, you know, a multi-story high-rise and then just started shooting people. It was targeted. What we're learning now is apparently he was mad at the NFL for reasons I don't quite fathom. He has football-related injuries or conditions that he never played for the NFL, as far as we know. JP said he heard he played for the Canadian Football League. Is that right?
Yeah, he played pro in Canada.
Okay. So he played Canadian Football League, but he's mad at Goodell and the folks at NFL.
Yeah, well, what I saw was, I think we mentioned this earlier, but that he was mad because the NFL claimed he had CTE. I don't know. I haven't heard the background, but my guess is something along the lines of he was maybe trying to get into the NFL or something NFL related. Did a test and deemed he had early signs of CTE, something like that.
Well,
is what I saw.
All I know is this was targeted. It was obvious he came there for a purpose. It's also obvious that a police officer was present because there was a police officer who died on the scene. And this police officer was indeed a young officer, 3 or maybe 4 years on the job, already had 2 small children, had a 3rd on the way, left behind a beautiful young family. And he was there working after time or after hours security for the building. And the gunman walked in the front door, and that was his first shot. And he fired, and he killed the police officer without any hesitation. Just opened fire and killed him. Killed another, I think, coming out of the elevator, and then rode to the 33rd floor, killed another and another. And then I think he actually killed a security guard downstairs first, and then he went upstairs and then shot himself. That being said, that's New York City. Let's take a look at who's running for mayor of New York City. Zoran Mondani, the so-called champagne socialist, the limousine liberal, the guy who loves to live large and just had his international wedding in Uganda, protected by security officials with guns, wants to defund the police if he becomes mayor of New York City. When I get back from this break, I'm going to tell you about him and some of the things he said. You want to make streets safe again? It matters who you put in office, my friends. It does. It's not just law enforcement. It's not just plussing up the men and women in blue. You got to give them the backing of the council and the mayor's office, too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. So I'm still in this dipper right now. Safe streets. It was my number one. It was my lead story. So I'm running with it, baby. But Zoran Mondani. Yep, the limousine liberal, the champagne socialist, the guy who wants to be mayor of New York City, and he could become mayor of New York City. By the way, the elections. I thought we had the election next month, but the election is in November. But he has a long-standing history of crying for defunding of the police. Oh, yeah. The guy who wants to head up the city that just suffered a shooting like this wants to defund the police. The guy who wants to head up the city where they just lost another law enforcement officer to a criminal act wants to defund the police. On June 8th of 2020, Mondani posted on his Twitter feed, "We don't need an investigation to know the NYPD is racist, anti-queer, and a major threat to public safety. What we need is to, quote, hashtag defund the NYPD, but your deal with uses budget tricks," you're talking about the current mayor, "to keep as many cops as possible on the beat. No to fake cuts. Defund the police." That's the guy who wants to be mayor. I read you his stuff. I didn't make it up. Did you just pull that up? How'd you do that?
The internet.
That's some JP magic is what that is. All right. See if you can do another one. You ready? He also said, where was it? On November 5th of 2020, I believe it was. No, in December of the same year. He called for the NYPD to be dismantled. He said, "All this misery, all for money. In the last budget, the city council tried to make the NYPD reduce its overtime budget by half. They simply refused. There's no negotiating with an institution this wicked and corrupt. Defund it. Dismantle it. End the cycle of violence." Okay. Then this lying charlatan did a mayoral debate during his primary. Confronted with his past statements, his own statements, suddenly he says, quote, I will not defund the police. I will work with police because I believe the police have a critical role to play in public service. Listen, on his campaign website, he calls for the creation of a Department of Public Safety. You know, the usual tripe. We're going to put, like, counselors on the street, and we're going to send social workers to respond to 911 calls and see if we can talk them down before we bring in the people who actually know how to enforce things. That's just the most asinine thing I've ever heard. Do not put this guy, please, please, my New York brethren, do not put this guy in charge of the Big Apple. Do not do it. The crossroads of the world needs to remain open. And the lovely Charlene and I want to go back to Broadway. But that's the whole idea of safe streets, the whole idea of having Make America Safe Again. It's a leadership issue. I don't care what level, I don't care what small town you live in. I don't care what big city you live in. I don't care if you're looking at it from a national perspective. Safe streets is a leadership issue. The men and women in blue who are in law enforcement, they will do their jobs, but they need the support of the people who are supposed to be giving them what they need to do their jobs. And oh, by the way, we need more of them to be doing the job. What we need is recruiting drives. And I don't mean like fake recruiting drives. I don't mean like Boston PD doing fake recruiting drives where they're saying, we're going to recruit more Muslim police officers. I don't care if it's a Muslim, if it's a Christian, if it's a Buddhist, if it's a men or women in blue and 911 is going on and they come to rescue whatever situation me or my loved ones are in. I just want to know they're going to do a good job. Well, I think it's very important that we have diversity in the ranks and that we recruit from the Muslim community. They're actually doing a legitimate call for a Muslim recruiting as an official policy of the Boston Police Department. Make that make sense. I'm sorry, you can't. How about in Cincinnati? We just had this horrible situation. You've probably seen the videos on social media. A man and a woman leave a theater, apparently. And they're white. And things that I don't understand, apparently words were exchanged or something, but there was a just a crowd of black youths who decided to attack them and do a group beatdown. Had the man in the street kicking and punching, like left him bloody. The woman tried to intervene. What did they do? They beat her up and knocked her out. And it was gay. And what happened? You had 100 people, literally. I'm reading this from the police chief who gave, I got it. Right here from Fox News, Dateline yesterday. Cincinnati police chief says out of 100 people that were watching and recording this violent beat down in the street, only one called 911. They got one call. One 911 call. Listen, safe streets is also cultural. You cannot, as a community, allow this kind of behavior. And you don't sit there and film it. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, would you please tell your kids and grandkids, if you see a bad thing, the first thing you do with your phone is you call 911. You don't stop and start filming it.
Thank you. Drives me nuts, the people who think that they just got to get this for the gram, got to get this for the social media.
I'm going to get all kinds of hits on this one. How many views will I have? It's ridiculous. Vivek Ramaswamy, who's running for governor of Ohio, because it came in, this is in Cincinnati, says, hardworking Americans shouldn't have to worry about their safety when they have a good time in our cities. Not a single local or state official has yet reached out, other than one police detective. Leftists like to lecture us about systemic injustices while thugs turn our cities into war zones, and I'm done with their excuses. He said, "All right, if I'm governor, our cops will have the green light to restore order, no apologies." There you go. But the Cincinnati police chief, Teresa Thetji, I think, Thetji, whatever. Anyway, talk about somebody not inspiring confidence. She looks like, I don't know, somebody's mama borrowed a uniform and went and did a press conference. Does not inspire confidence. She decided to blame the media. You saw that, didn't you?
I did.
She decided to blame the media. The media and social media are making the story out to be something that it's not. They're over-amplifying. They're not taking things into context. It's a beatdown.
Pretty much just insecure that she's getting attacked is what it was.
Yeah. Well, how about this? Maybe she's not up to the job. We're going to wrap this up after the break. We get back, and I got a ton of text messages. I got a couple more things that I'll point out to you, just things you might want to know, like what is Trump doing about homelessness from the national level? Well, there's actually something going on. But yes, there are good things happening. Make America Safe Again is real. And it's at every level. It's not just a Fed thing. It's a local thing. It's a your community thing. It's a how you raise your kids thing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, whew, I mean, goes from like Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. It's right across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just radio. Just the radio footprint. All you Right Side ruffians on the radio. That's where y'all are all located. And then, oh, by the way, there's a ton of y'all that live stream the show. Live stream it live every single day, going out there in the whole wide world and the world wide web, picking it up on places like YouTube, X, Facebook, our website, rightsidemedia.org, live streaming the show, looking right into the studios. And then, oh, by the way, there's a bunch of y'all that podcast it as well. So I say all that to say, we know where you are, folks, and we love you, and we appreciate it. And wherever you get this show, just hear me say it. We do it because of you, so thank you very much. I got a ton of text messages. You want to text in, tell me what you think about the Safe Streets Initiative or the gun control issue, either one, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. By the way, that situation in Cincinnati with the beatdown by the group of thugs on the couple, which appeared to be a racially motivated event, Harmeet Dhillon, who is the spokesperson now for the, and I'm sorry, she's one of the senior counsels for the Department of Justice, has said that she's Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights, is actually her title. She has confirmed that the FBI is going to be monitoring this investigation. They're not going to let this thing get away. They're not going to let this thing just like, oh, that thing that we didn't want to do because we didn't want to enrage anybody. But they also said a minute ago on the news, I just saw it up on the screen, they have arrested five suspects. But you know why? Because everybody was filming it. So they had plenty of opportunity to go, let me see your social media. Oh, you apparently know him because you're crowing about how good his last punch was. Let's talk to you and find out what his name was. So they've actually detained five people right now. And then there's Safe Streets in this regard. It's not just like criminal activity. Sometimes it's just places you just don't feel like you can even go anymore. And one of the things that really just, I cannot believe happens, especially to beautiful cities like San Francisco, Los Angeles, Birmingham. We're talking about homeless encampments. We're talking about, and I understand that people hit hard times. This is not a reflection on the fact that homelessness does occur. What I'm saying is, homelessness that's being allowed to be perpetrated in the form of these large encampments that take over city streets and make it so, I mean, there's places where you just don't go. You can't take kids anymore. There are parks that are no longer safe. Well, President Trump issued an executive order. I told you last week that he was going to, and he did. President Trump issued an executive order intended to bring back what is known as civil commitment. In other words, the ability to put people who are in danger to themselves or others into institutions, even against their will. It's a little scary when I hear that. Granted, I get you. It is. But what he's saying is there's two reasons why people are on the street. There's usually the people on one hand that are financially disadvantaged that do need perhaps a hand up. Not a handout, but a hand up. An opportunity to find worth and work, and maybe find work for that matter. Maybe, though, there's also those who are on the streets because it's an addiction or a mental health problem. And the reality is, homelessness related to mental health or addiction is not a homelessness problem, it's a mental health or addiction problem. And if the person is shooting up in a tent city on the street corner, and they're sitting there falling asleep, standing up with a needle sticking out of their arm, the problem is not that they're homeless. The problem is that they're addicts. If they are crazy people who talk to themselves and wander the streets defecating in street corners, then the problem is not that they are homeless. The problem is that they have a mental health issue. President Trump is focused on the idea that perhaps what they need is a change of venue to get them into a place of stability, so they can then recover and stop taking up street corners at the same time. Lastly, I will tell you this. Make America Safe Again. A big bunch of that deals with the illegal immigration problem. Daily Signal has a piece, Dateline, yesterday that I hold in my calloused former paratrooper hands. It's an exclusive look at the numbers that have just been released by a major review done by the Department of Homeland Security. It says new data shows that the arrests of criminal illegal aliens have made a real impact on public safety. Look at that. You don't say. You mean you arrest illegal aliens, especially those with criminal records, and it actually makes the streets safer? I never would have dreamed. You mean if you don't let them take over whole apartment complexes in places like Aurora, Colorado, the community might feel better about itself? No. You mean if you stop criminal illegals from conducting organized crime on the streets of San Francisco, the businesses won't shut down and leave? No. Who would have thought? Every single day, said Tricia McLaughlin, DHS Assistant Secretary, in a press release, every single day we're arresting gang members, murderers, pedophiles, and violent predators. 70% of ICE arrests are of illegal aliens who have been convicted or charged with a crime. During the first 6 months of 2025, it says homicides fell by 17% across 30 U.S. cities. Wow. 17% from what it was this time last year. Wow. In the first 6 months of 2025, there were 10% fewer reported aggravated assaults, 21% fewer gun assaults, 10% fewer sexual assaults, 3% more domestic violence incidents when compared to last time last year. I'm just telling you, that's amazing. Robberies are down 20%. Carjacking fell by 24%. Vehicle theft was rising for the summer of 2020 through 23, but it did begin reversing in 2024. But since Trump took office, the Trump administration has arrested nearly 300,000 illegal aliens, deported more than 239,000 of them, and 75% of U.S. voters feel that it is making their streets safer. Safe streets, my friends. Make America safe again. It's real, and it's also worth doing. Because, hear me when I say it, there are some essential services of government. There are some things that government is supposed to do. One of them is public safety. And you don't get there by being soft on crime, weak on homelessness, and trying to put gun control in place so that the good guys can't have guns. It doesn't work like that. And you got to back the blue. You got to make sure that the men and women in law enforcement know that they are supported, cared for, and augmented with all that they need to do the job. There you have it. Safe streets. Let me grab some text messages. You guys are amazing, prolific texters. I got to scroll way down. Good Lord. Joe in Tennessee says, CTE, that's chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Yes, you got it.
I got it. Wow. Can only be confirmed by autopsy. Otherwise, it's just a conjecture. Even the liberal Wikipedia gets it right. Well, yeah. Okay, Joe. Thank you very much. Dave from Capshaw again says, Phil, related to the story you told last night about that California mayor who took action on ending homelessness in the city, said, I believe last week, there it is, signed an executive order. Yes, yep. He did. I just talked about it. Thank you very much, Dave. You're right. He said, this order shifts federal funding away from housing first programs and emphasizes institutional care as solutions. There you go. Karen R. from Rogersville says, another acronym that everyone knows.
The text before.
Oh, NASA. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. I just realized I didn't know where we were going, but okay. We got a new texter in the line is, Jeff from somewhere, but thank you, Jeff. We're glad you're there. David from Huntsville says, if Obama is not held to account for his involvement in Russiagate, David, you're so off topic right now, brother. He said, we owe President Nixon an apology. I don't disagree, but, thank you. Gray Falcon from Ardmore says, when seconds count, cops are minutes away. When seconds counts, cops are minutes away. Well, yeah, when you don't upfund them and give them enough. Absolutely. That's exactly what will happen. Adam from Athens says, Dems gun control does absolutely nothing, but mine does. I use both hands. Paul from Huntsville says, I learned to change to charge towards an ambush. Yep, there you go. Bob from Madison says, oh, no, they're going to take our cranes. Our canes.
Canes, yeah.
Canes. Sorry, canes. Our canes. Mountain Mikey from Flintstone says, Flintstone, Georgia says, if we had outlawed rocks, would Cain have still killed Abel? Wow. He'd have found something else to do it with. That's a bumper sticker if I ever heard one. If we had outlawed rocks, would Cain have still killed Abel? Wow. Harriet from Madison said, oh, thank you, Harriet. Said I was glad to said I was blessed to meet you yesterday and glad to hear from Jared Hudson, who I'll be voting for as a senator for the great state of Alabama. Harriet from Madison. Harriet, it was great to meet you as well. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Jeffro from Indiana says, hey, Phil, the CNN guy sent possibly a white guy in New York State. Could have been a tranny, so I would have said it could have been a man. More accurate, could have been a woman. That's taking a chance on misgendering someone. Boy, he's voice texting in a big way. It says misgendering somebody. No, they didn't have red hair. Jerry from Decatur says, to me, the problem with the left is they have zero empathy for victims of crime or babies in the womb. They love darkness and hate light before they're always on the wrong side of all issues. Airborne. Jerry laying it down hard. All right. Airborne to you. JT Lacey Springs says, New York City mayor hopeful. Turn away your security. Unlock your home and car. Leave your garage door open and then talk police defunding. Won't happen. He wants to live in Gracie Mansion and have all the security.
Yeah, it's funny. He's having his wedding in Uganda with armed security around him. So I guess it's for me, but not for thee.
Oh, yes.
That's typically how it goes.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Matt from Madison says, I guess it needs repeating once in a while. Outlaw guns and only outlaws will have guns. Nailed it. Bobby from Moulton says, Mala, make America logical again. Sounded a little Hawaiian there. And Dave Capshaw also says, too, you mentioned the spectators in Cincinnati filming the beatdown. Made me think of the video I saw last week of a pastor jet. Had a tire on fire, and as pastors were sliding down the emergency exit, one person was taking a video while he was sliding down. Another fellow was typing out a text as he was exiting the burning plane.
Yeah, that video was nuts because, you got all these guys who are, not sitting and standing by helping the women and children. They're either off and running or they're filming or it's like, yeah, what in the world?
I just had somebody send me a meme a little while ago, a friend of mine on a text, a personal text. He sent me a meme and it had, the three monkeys, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil.
Mm-hmm.
It said they found the fourth monkey and it was sitting there holding a phone. And it said he can see, hear, or speak no evil.
Yeah.
He's not doing any of it.
He can film it though.
Yeah. And then Tom with all the kids says, prosecuting criminals works too. Just read an article about Baltimore and the reduction in crime. Good to hear. All right, we're taking a break right now. Take a break. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Dipper number 2 coming up. It's Trump World. Oh, yeah, it is. Y'all stay tuned.